To God, lover, beloved in love. Last week, Catherine introduced us to a wonderful spiritual practice of letting go. Do you remember this? We all held our hands in a fist like we were grasping life itself, and then we opened them. We let it go. A super spiritual practice for us to remember when life hands us the difficult things. Don't grasp them. Don't try to control it. Let it go. Today we are introduced to two other spiritual practices, ones that will also help us in our life, especially now as life is offering us so much sadness, anger, fear with war and rising costs of living. Life is difficult. We all know it in our own way. So here are two spiritual practices to help us navigate it. They come to us from the story in Genesis. Abram had been promised a good life from God, a life of abundance, a family, stability, a place to rest, and it hasn't come yet. He is still that wandering Aramean with no place to call home, and his family is incomplete. He has no sense of the future and maybe even wonders if there will be one. Sure, God has promised all these things, but where are they? It's cliche, but true, that God's time is different than our time. God's promises of life and peace and joy and justice do not come to us immediately or quickly. They come to us in parts and in stages and ever so slowly. Abram, like us, doesn't understand this. He questions it. He argues with God about it. And in doing so, shows us the first of the two spiritual practices, lifting our voice to God and asking God the questions that are on our heart. Why is this taking so long, God? Why is there still poverty, children going hungry, people without homes, 2,000 years after the Magnificat was sung by Mary? Why are there still people who walk over others in their pursuit of wealth, power, fame, and pleasure? Why is there still war 2,000 years after the Prince of Peace was born? Why is there still sickness and depression and anxiety and fear? Where is the new life you have promised, God? Where? Why? How long? The spiritual practice of lifting our voice to God and expressing our feelings, our fears, our sadness, our anger, all of it. Sometimes I wonder if we're too afraid to express these things to God. Maybe we're discouraged from doing this by spiritual leaders who told us rather to be silent and do not argue with God. But our spiritual ancestor Abram was a master at arguing with God. And it is a spiritual practice we must get used to practicing if we want to find healing or wholeness in our lives. It's not like God doesn't know how we are feeling after all, right? It's not like we're disappointing God when we articulate something God already knows. Or maybe we think we should not be feeling the things we are feeling, that anger or doubt or fear is a sign of our lack of trust in God. But Abram says no. Abram says, like Paul wrote a moment ago, imitate me, do what I'm doing and let your feelings out. Again, not so God knows something that God doesn't know. God knows how we're feeling. No, let's let our feelings out and confess them to God so that we will be healed. We will be restored. Better out than in, right? Better admitted than denied. We feel what we feel, and they are extraordinarily huge, these feelings of ours. But without a healthy way to express them, to name them, to get them out, we will end up doing something terrible. Terrible to ourselves, terrible to someone else. King Herod didn't admit his fear when he heard the news that a new king was born. He didn't confess it to God and work through it. And the result of him holding it in was the slaughter of the innocents. Who knows what the president of Russia is feeling, but dear God, he is taking it out in evil and destructive ways. Who knows what you're feeling? Well, God knows. God already knows. So speak it out. Get it out. Share your feelings to God, your frustrations, your whatever. And I promise you, when you do this spiritual practice, you will be healthier, more whole, and you won't then take it out on yourself and on your neighbor. Spiritual practice number one, tell God how you're feeling and how this world is going. Be honest, be true. Get it out. Spiritual practice number two, God tells Abram, go outside, look toward the heavens, and count the stars. This Lent, we are considering the image of light and how we might be able to let the light of God enter our hearts and minds in new and healing ways. I wonder if you have ever stood beneath a night sky and watched the stars for a moment. It's tough to do around here because there is so much light. Light pollution, it's called, right? Interesting to think that light can be both helpful and unhelpful. It can reveal, but it can also hide. You need to go away from light to see the light of the night sky. Sometimes to have the light of God enter our hearts and minds, we need to step away from other sources of light. I wonder what kinds of light you use to distract yourself, to keep you from having to face the night sky of your life. I use the light of the computer or television monitor, the light of my phone screen. Sometimes, speaking more metaphorically now, I use the light that comes from other people, right? Their words and their thoughts and ideas, I bring them into my sphere, my mind, so that I don't have to sit with my own words and my own thoughts and my own ideas. Access to light is wonderful, but it can also be a distraction from facing my own night sky. When God instructs Abram to go outside and look toward the heavens and count the stars, he is inviting Abram to get out of the tent he has built for himself, that he uses for comfort and warmth and safety, and face the reality of the night sky around him. We live in a night sky world. And try as we might to delude ourselves by surrounding ourselves with light of all kinds, we still live in a night sky world. The night of hunger, loneliness, war, poverty, these real human experiences are necessary for us to face. Not ignore, not to put off, not to distract ourselves from, but to face them head on. The spiritual practice of looking at the night sky, while yes, let's take it literally and find opportunities to escape the literal light pollution around us, and let's go and look at the literal sky. But the spiritual practice goes deeper than that. It is a practice that makes us look dead on at the problems of this world. Not necessarily to fix them. I mean, who can fix the problems of the world? I have some ideas, but who's asking? But to look them dead on, to look at these problems dead on and say to them, you problems, you are not the only thing. The existence of the problems of the world are not the only things that are in this world. There are also stars. There are also fixed points of light that I can look at to find inspiration and hope and healing. Not by distracting myself from the problems, but by facing them, do I see the healing light before me. Getting outside of ourselves and looking at the night sky is the basic spiritual practice of the church, to face the problems of the world and our own hearts head on, to walk in the midst of pain and suffering, like God walked in the midst of it in Abram's story, like Jesus walks in the midst of pain and violence on his way to the cross, lamenting the whole way, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, yes, calling out to God in that first spiritual practice, how long, but walking in the midst of it, while at the same time counting the stars. And I don't mean that just in a count your blessings sort of way. Yeah, do that, that's good. But when God asks Abram to count the stars, He's not asking Abram to rehearse the blessings he has already received at the hands of God. Nope, nope. Abram is counting his descendants. That is, he counts the blessings that God has not yet given him, the blessings that are yet to be. The stars go before Abram. They are the signs of promise, and Abram begins to count them. While facing the night sky of his life, he counts the star of promise that one day God will rid the world of war, and the instruments of war will be refashioned into instruments of building and gardening. While facing the night sky, Abram counts the star of promise that one day all the hungry will eat and be satisfied, and no more will there be a child that goes without food. While facing the night sky, Abram counts the star of promise that one day the anxieties we hold in our bodies and minds, in our hearts, will melt away like a morning frost melts in the sunlight, and our breathing will grow deeper, and our friendships with one another will grow deeper, and healing will come to each and every one of us. The spiritual practice of facing our night sky is a hard spiritual practice. But unless we do face it, we will never see the stars that go before us preparing the way for God's kingdom, where it's justice and peace and joy, not violence, war, and suffering. And we look at this night sky with all the stars, with Jesus Christ who goes before us, lighting the path, our guide and our light. Amen.